Hello and welcome to the Friday, May 24th, 2013 edition of the Sandsnet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. Well, let's start with diaries today. And we have here one where we got quite a bit of responses to, and that's a diary by Adrian about privilege escalation vulnerabilities. The diary was in part sparked by a discussion we had about the recently disclosed and so far unpatched privilege escalation vulnerability in Windows. Well, what Adrian's argument here is, in his line of work as a pen tester, he says he hardly ever has to actually find vulnerabilities in a lot of the critical systems. Instead, he typically breaks into a workstation either using a bug in a client tool or by tricking a user into revealing credentials. Then by breaking the workstation, then he escalates privileges, which then gives him access to hashes and all kinds of other tools, of course, that then allow him to move further inside the network. So this is really one of the issues that's often overlooked with privilege escalation flaws, that it does really increase the attack surface substantially. We do spend a lot of time hardening some of these admin accounts, but the real vulnerable accounts are all these hundreds or thousands of users that we have. And once one of those users is compromised, that of course can then lead to a full network compromise using privilege escalation. Secondly, we do have a month of volatility plugins. Volatility is a memory forensics tool and it is very easily expandable. So in order to promote some of these extensions and to reinforce what I said earlier, that of course is a tool that may also be used offensively by an attacker after obtaining root access. And for example, one of the plugins that was released here does steal RSA private keys and certificates. And while we're talking about RSA keys and certificates, Google is improving the strength of its SSL keys. Google is still using a lot of 1024-bit keys, which really is no longer adequate and is going to move to 2048 bits. Now, I always recommend 4096, but one of the issues, of course, is if you are working with a site at the scale of Google, then the extra cryptography is substantial. In particular, if you're concerned about latency-sensitive applications like you frequently have them in Web 2.0. So by the end of the year, Google should all be up to date with 2048-bit keys. And Twitter released its previously announced two-factor authentication system. It works pretty much like many of these social network two-factor authentication systems, in asking you for either an email address or a phone number, and then the one-time password is sent to either. We'll have to see how much this really helps. One of my concern is that one of the big problems are these high profile accounts that are getting compromised, like for example the Associated Press recently and other news media accounts. In many cases, those companies have multiple users updating the Twitter account. They sometimes use these social media suites, essentially third-party products that do the actual posting. So we'll have to see how those systems will integrate with Google's two-factor authentication system and whether they will actually be adopted. And then we got more Apple or OS X malware going around. Again, yet another backdoor that is actually signed with a valid developer certificate. As I mentioned before, it's really trivial to get one of those certificates. If you do want to really take advantage of Apple's gatekeeper protection, make sure you only allow installs from Apple's App Store and then relax it if you really, really want it. Now, in this case, the exploit was spread via spear phishing, so the victims were willingly installing the software. They may have also disabled then the protection if that question would have come up. The other interesting facet here to make the entire exploit more plausible is that it did use a control server called lifeapple.eu. So it had Apple as part of its domain name, which of course may then trick users into believing that this is an authentic piece of Apple software. And then while we're talking about Apple, a new version for QuickTime for Windows. So if you're using that software, make sure you're up to date. That has been a target in the past, even though I haven't seen that many exploits against QuickTime flaws lately. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.